Season 8, Episode 34 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, recording this on Thursday, October 5th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, prior to the Commanders game against the Bears. So take that into consideration that by the time you hear this, the Bears-Commanders game will be over and the Matt Eberflus era of Chicago Bears football may be over as well. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Hey, they just had the huge 40th anniversary this week. They're celebrating 40 years on the 4th of each month that included this month, and they have throwback events on the 4th of each month that include 83-cent wings, other great specials, and remember, they have $6 drinks all day, every day. $6 drinks all day, every day, thanks to Hooters for their continued sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email is wright.todd@yahoo.com, wright.todd@yahoo.com. So what do I want to do in this podcast that might be beneficial to all? The bye weeks are kicking in. Chargers not playing. Buccaneers not playing. Seahawks not playing. Browns not playing. That's pretty much it, right? Just four? Yeah. So four not playing this week. So here's what we'll do. Incorporate that a little bit into I'm looking at total points in my 21st century, standardized, modernized scoring settings at some of the top performers through the first 4 weeks of the season. These are total points, regardless of opponent, regardless of any time missed, who has scored the most points. And let's go QB, RB, wide receiver, tight end, flex, and then maybe we'll do kickers because some things there are a bit surprising, and the disparity in points is significant for those of you who have leagues like mine that utilize kickers. And of course, in my leagues, field goals, all of them worth three. Extra points, all of them worth one. I took out penalties for misses this year, but I took out bonuses for 40 to 49 and 50 and beyond a long time ago. I wanted to make a fantasy field goal worth the same amount that it is in an actual football game. And it also reduced the overall impact on a kicker winning a fantasy game. They can still influence the total, but not as much with a bunch of 50-plus and 40-plus yard field goals, which are becoming more commonplace. We've seen more of that year after year after year, especially this year. So, top quarterbacks, based on my scoring settings going into week five, those of you who have been thrilled with the production of Justin Herbert, do not have the luxury of using him this week. You must sub for him. I have him at 88-plus points through the first 4 weeks of the season. He has the issue with a fractured middle finger on his left non-throwing hand. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reported earlier this week Herbert won't miss time, and he not only has the bye week, he has the benefit of an extra day next week as the Chargers will play on Monday night, albeit against the defense toughest to score on in the NFL through 4 weeks, that of the Dallas Cowboys. So no Justin Herbert, so where might you go? Josh Allen isn't available to you unless you somehow have both of those guys. Josh Allen, the number one performer in fantasy football the last 3 years, honestly, factoring in how close the points are, yeah, through 3 years and 4 weeks now, Josh Allen is the number one performer the last 3 years, 4 weeks in all fantasy football. I show him as QB2. Lamar Jackson is running for touchdowns again, although there are some people saying, where is this new Todd Monken offense evolving the Lamar Jackson passing game? It's a fair question. Jackson has rushed for four touchdowns. He's thrown for four touchdowns. He is averaging less than 200 yards passing per game. He is averaging 55 yards rushing per game. He has three lost fumbles, by the way. So in my league, that would take away one of those rushing touchdowns based on points. Jordan Love, available in 20% of Yahoo leagues at the time of this podcast. So perhaps if you've lost Herbert, you want to pick up Jordan Love if he's available in your league. He is QB4 based on my scoring settings, 901 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, 3 picks. He has rushed for 2 touchdowns on 16 attempts for 72 yards and has 2 two-point conversions. So Love might be an option on a Monday night on the road against the struggling Las Vegas Raiders. Jalen Hurts is QB5, 3 rushing touchdowns, 134 yards rushing. He's thrown for just 5 touchdowns and 959 yards, 1 lost fumble, 3 picks. Patrick Mahomes is QB6, despite 1,006 yards passing, 8 TDs, 4 picks. Mahomes has more rushing yards than Hurts. 23 carries, 154 yards, no touchdowns, though. Tua Tagovailoa, QB7, over 1,300 yards passing, just 9 passing touchdowns. I say just. That's not tops in the NFL. It's tied with Josh Allen. It's tied with Russell Wilson. It's two behind the next guy I'm going to talk about. And Tua gets you nothing with his legs, 11 carries, 15 yards. Kirk Cousins, 1,214 yards passing, averaging roughly 304-plus yards passing per game, 11 TDs, 4 picks, gives you nothing on the ground. He's available in 5% of leagues. Do you make the Russell Wilson call this week, albeit against the Jets defense? Wilson coming off 3 solid games, I believe 3 games of 300 yards or 3 touchdowns or something like that. Totaled 10-14 in yardage, 9 touchdowns, just 2 picks, 11 rushes for 70, no touchdowns. Brock Purdy is available in 20% of leagues. He still has never lost an NFL game that he started and finished. He has thrown for 1,019 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks. He has rushed for 2 touchdowns, and he is, what, QB 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in my scoring setting. C.J. Stroud is 11 with his 12 yards passing and 6 touchdowns. Just 6 touchdowns passing, though. Just 6. A lot of yardage, though, on a pass-first offense. Anthony Richardson is next as QB12 available. C.J. Stroud, by the way, available in 25% of leagues. Anthony Richardson available in 10% of leagues. I may get a trade inquiry on him this week or next, and I would consider it. I have Josh Allen as my starter. Richardson's only thrown for 479. Remember, he missed a full game. And a little of the game before that. 3 touchdowns passing, but 131 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns. And then it goes QB13 is Fields, QB14 is Baker Mayfield, available in 81% of Yahoo leagues at the time of this podcast. And QB15 is Josh Dobbs, who I know Matthew Berry is big on. Since week 1, one of the top producing quarterbacks in fantasy football, available in 81% of leagues, and he does give you something on the ground. So those are the top 15 quarterbacks. Let's go to the wide receiver tight end flex position that I play in my leagues with no mandatory tight end, yet maintaining the integrity of tight ends worth actually playing, which aren't many. Through 4 weeks in my scoring settings, Tyreek Hill, number 1, 72-plus points. Justin Jefferson, number 2, 70-plus points. Keenan Allen's number 3. So the top Charger quarterback on bye, the top quarterback in fantasy on bye from the Chargers, top wide receiver on bye from the Chargers in Keenan Allen as wide receiver 3. Wide receiver 4, Stephon Diggs. Wide receiver 5, Nico Collins, only available as we speak in 9% of Yahoo leagues on the receiving end of 428 yards and 3 touchdowns from C.J. Stroud. Wide receiver 6, not practicing on Thursday, I believe a shoulder injury, which he played through in week 4. The right side of questionable, according to NBCSportsEdge.com, as of Thursday, Devontae Adams, wide receiver 6, at 57-plus points in my scoring settings for the season. Puka Nacua, only available in 6% of leagues. People have caught on. With 39 catches, 501 yards, just the one touchdown, wide receiver 7. A.J. Brown, most of this in the last 2 weeks, 53-plus points to get to wide receiver 8. Mike Evans on bye, wide receiver 9. What, touchdown in the Bucs' first three games of his 20 catches, 337 yards. Hamstring issue in the fourth game. Perhaps can come back on the other side of the bye week after the MRI. Early word is that it was a mild hamstring injury, and so we'll see for week 6, but you have to replace Mike Evans. Brandon Ayuk, who I've totally come around on and I own in all my leagues, when he's been healthy, has been very good. Wide receiver 10 in my scoring settings. Ayuk, 2 touchdowns, 17 catches, 320 yards, and has only played about 2-plus games. Then Amon-Ra, who sat out Thursday practice with an abdomen injury, says his goal is to play. He's been battling this. I guess he battled it last week where he went 5-for-56 and 1 score. Hard to say whether or not he's going to go in the game against Carolina. Adam Thielen's available in 15% of leagues, going at Detroit this week as wide receiver 12 overall, but a lot of this was in the Andy Dalton game. 11 catches, 145 and a touch. He did that in one game from Andy Dalton. In the other three games started by Bryce Young, he's totaled 16 receptions for 152 and 1 touchdown. So keep that in mind. DJ Moore is next. Getting into the second 10, but he's not available on waivers. He might be available in trade, the way things are going for the Bears. Debo, who may have been out there as a decoy last week, won't be at full strength for the Niners game against the Cowboys in week 5. Keep that in mind if you own Debo Samuel. Devontae Smith, 22 for 284 and 2 touchdowns for the Eagles. Romeo Doubs, available in 27% of leagues. So if you're an Allen or Evans owner, maybe Doubs is available in your league. And then next in line is Tank Dell, available in 29% of leagues. And then next in line to that is Gabe Davis, who doesn't catch many balls, but when he does, it's often a touchdown. He's got 12 catches this year, 3 touchdowns. That's just Gabe Davis. It's kind of all or nothing. And he's available in 11% of leagues. So, yeah, that's enough for. And notice, we didn't talk about a tight end. The highest performing tight end at the wide receiver tight end flex position is at wide receiver tight end number 28, and that's Mark Andrews with 14 catches. The next best tight end is Cole Kmet, and he's at 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38. Hockenson's at 41, Laporta 42. I tell you every year, there aren't enough quality tight ends to go around to play mandatory tight end in your leagues. Running backs, McCaffrey, number one RB, number one overall pick by me, paying off. He's touched the ball 98 times, has 7 touchdowns, and already exactly on the number 600 yards for Run CMC. Huge gap to Mostert next, then Achane is 3. Arrow pointing up on Achane. Mostert owners, I think, are starting to get nervous. Kyron Williams, 4, who I claimed on waivers for week 3. Still available in 7% of leagues. Why? Why would Kyren Williams be available in 7% of leagues as RB4? He's touched the ball 75 times for 346 yards and 6 touchdowns. If he's available in your league, as Ferris Bueller would say, I highly recommend picking him up. Kenneth Walker is off this week, highest running back on a bye. So you could go Williams if he's available. You go Brian Robinson's available in 7% of leagues. He's RB6. Then David Montgomery, even though he missed a game, he's RB7. Derrick Henry, RB8. DeAndre Swift, RB9, available in 4% of leagues. Again, why? Bijan Robinson didn't play the first quarter in London. I mean, he may have snuck out there for a play as a wideout or whatever, but it was a Tyler Algier first quarter. Why? Arthur, what are you doing? was he suspended? Did he piss you off? What's going on there? Robinson's touched the ball 72 times for 452 yards, just one touchdown receiving, though. Then Tony Pollard, then Pacheco off his great game against the Jets. James Cook came back a little bit to earth in week 4, but he's still one of the top 15 running backs. James Conner, and then Zach Moss, we wonder about with Jonathan Taylor back and supposedly committed to the Colts, but Moss is available in 17% of leagues. Admittedly, kind of a risky play this week, depending on what you hear about Taylor and what mood Taylor is in. Tough to find running backs of significance on the waiver wire. So let's do the kickers and then call it a day. Wish you well for the weekend. Number one kicker in my scoring settings. Again, my scoring settings are very simple. Kicker makes an extra point, he gets one. Kicker makes any field goal, he gets three. That's it. 1 and 3. Just like what you watch in the NFL. Same points. Jake Elliott, 48 points. He has 13 field goals. This is probably why the Eagles are pissed, because Jake Elliott's kicking too many field goals. 13 field goals for Jake Elliott, 9 PATs, so more field goals than touchdowns. Brandon Aubrey is 2. I picked him up, I think, going into week 3 and gave up on Daniel Carlson. The Raiders just don't seem to have enough offense, and they're going to be in games trying to catch up and getting 3 and going to be good enough. So I love Daniel Carlson, always wanted to own him, drafted him in both leagues. I've cut him in both. Brandon Aubrey, just booming it. Tied with Jake Elliott. So it's exact. Elliott and Aubrey this year, 13 field goals each, 9 PATs each. Brett Maher is 3rd off the disaster in the playoffs last year against the Bucks. Maher for the Rams is kicker number 3 and available. No one's buying it. In 63% of leagues, he has hit 12 field goals and 8 extra points. Tyler Bass is next. By the way, Brandon Aubrey available in 39% of leagues if you want to get in on that scoring. Tyler Bass is 4. 16 PATs for Bass. I think that's the most. Nope. Jason Sanders is the most for Miami. Jason Sanders has only kicked 4 field goals, 18 PATs. Fairbairn, available in 92% of leagues. You know who this guy is. He's kicked 11 field goals, 9 PATs. He's PK5 in my scoring settings. Then Jake Moody, who was doing great until it was all extra points last week and the Niners went against the Cardinals. Then Jason Myers, he's been this year. He's available in 77% of leagues. Then Nick Folk, available in 73% of leagues for Tennessee. Then Butker, he's highly rostered, 8 field goals, 11 PATs. Then Prater, available in 96% of leagues. And there's Brandon McManus, 8 field goals, 8 PATs for the Jaguars, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's PK 11. Then, is it Group A? Or is it Group E? Yeah, I've heard the name. It just makes me laugh. Available 97% of leagues, 9 field goals, 5 PATs. Saints just can't score touchdowns. So there's a look at some kickers. Notice we did not say the name of Sanders, even though he kicks for the Dolphins. We did not say the name of Riley Patterson, kicking so many games indoors for the high-scoring Lions. We did not say Will Lutz, despite him being at altitude and a familiar name to fantasy fans. We did not say Matt Gay, who had that big game in beating the Ravens in week three. We did not say, there's one big name still sort of sitting out there. Justin Tucker, in my scoring setting, is PK26. In the podcast league, he was cut after week two. I picked him up. I mean, he's still rostered 97% of leagues, but he's only got 4 field goals and 11 PATs. Ravens, Warren Sharp pointed this out this week. God love Warren Sharp on Twitter X. Here's the reason. Ravens, through 4 weeks, highest percentage of third down conversion rate inside the opponent's 35. That's why Tucker isn't attempting more field goals, because the Ravens are converting third downs inside the opponent 35 at the highest rate in the NFL. So instead of Tucker on fourth down, Ravens get a fresh set of downs, a first down instead. So there you go. Send me any of your personal fantasy questions at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening and hopefully subscribing to season 8 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.